You may proceed.
My name is Tony Shaw from Prescott, Arizona, representing the appellants Howells. I'd like to first talk about my jury instruction argument that it's a matter of law for the judge. And I'd like to say that based on the evidence that came out in court in this case, as a matter of law, the execution of this search warrant was unreasonable under the Fourth Amendment. Why? Because the facts are from the sergeant who was in charge of the execution, Hodapp, no more than 5 seconds was awaited after the knock and announcement.
You know, you went to a jury. Jury heard this evidence. You know, this is a group from the community. And they made a judgment about reasonableness. I think it is highly optimistic of you to think that we would reverse a jury determination of reasonableness. Isn't this exactly what juries are best equipped to decide?
Not in this case, Judge. They're to decide the facts.
What's so special about this case?
Well, because this involves the policy decision of exigent circumstances versus the fundamental right of privacy in the home. That's a decision for the judge. The McConey decision that the Ninth Circuit ruled on several years ago said that's a decision. It's a de novo review decision, so it's a legal decision, not a factual. It's distinguished from the other claims we have in this case, excessive force and arrest, and unlawful arrest, because those involve what the officer knew. They do not involve the policy decisions of privacy in the home versus safety of
officers. These cases usually come to us the other way, where the judge decides the question on a qualified immunity motion, and more often than not says, "No, what the officer I hold as a matter of law that the officers did was reasonable." And then says, you know, adds to the qualified immunity layer. People on this side say, no, this is some kind of thing that has to go to the jury. This is reasonableness. This is something that only the community can decide. And here you had a jury trial. And, you know, your client's peers did not see it that way. I don't see where we can interfere.
Well, if a jury decides this in every case, you know, deciding reasonableness under the Fourth Amendment, that's always been, in criminal cases, civil cases, always a judge decision made, because it involves the policy decision of how much are we going to allow in exigent circumstances. Well, you're weighing exigent circumstances.
In criminal cases, it's in the context of a motion to suppress, and juries don't decide motions to suppress. That's a preliminary question. That's for judges. But here we're dealing with a substantive judgment.
You haven't cited a case, have you, a 1983 trial in which, on this kind of case, excessive force case, where the judge took the reasonableness issue away from the jury? You don't have a case directly.
No, there hasn't been I haven't found a case on that point.
You can't say, as you said a minute ago, that, you know, the judge always decides it. It's not. I couldn't find a case either in this context. So it's kind of at best, from your point of view, at best it's an open question. But in every other context, as Judge Kozinski says, it doesn't involve a jury. Right? But the judge decides it.
Yes, the judge decides it. And I did have a case, a 1983 case, where the judge was the trier of fact. It's a Ninth Circuit case.
Well, that's what you could have done. You could have waived the jury.
What?
You could have waived the jury.
Well, I don't have that absolute right, though. The other side could have had the jury if they wanted to.
I have a feeling if you tried, they'd have let you.
Excuse me, Judge?
I'm guessing that if you had tried, they'd have let you.
Who knows?
This is Arizona, right?
Yes, this is in Arizona. I want to get also, based on the facts that came out, this was unreasonable search as a matter of law. There were no exigent circumstances. The security screen door, which they use, I'd like to bring out this fact that comes from their volume 3 of the appellees, from Sergeant Hodapp, They argue, and the trial judge found on summary judgment, that more time needs to be added because of the security screen door. However, Sergeant Hodapp testified this security screen door wasn't a problem. At page 0850 on day 4 of the jury trial, he says, the question is, you've had experience with 15 or 20 of these kind of doors, right? And the question was, did this concern you that you have these kinds of doors? He says, a little bit. And the question was, why just a little bit? Well, because we haven't had a whole lot of problems getting through those types of doors before. We had been able to do it fairly quickly. It's a direct quote. So that's not an exigent circumstance. The exigent circumstance, they argued in their response brief, there's only a small amount of marijuana involved in this case. That should be more easily disposed of in a small house. No case anywhere has said a small amount is an exigent circumstance that by itself requires the police to do the kind of overpowering thing they did in this case with the screaming and the yelling and the busting in the door and breaking down.
But once again, you had a jury of the community look at the facts. And this is not a case where the judge took the case away from the jury. And this is a case where your clients had a chance to present their facts to the community. And members of the community, this is a federal case, so they must have been unanimous. Right? So
correct.
You have a unanimous jury of your client's peers making a judgment that the police did here was reasonable. I don't see where you... I mean, you can talk about what you perceive were the instructional errors, and we can talk about those, but standing there talking about reasonableness when you've had, what was it, eight people that you had a chance to select or help select, was it eight people, was it eight-person jury?
Yes.
And they all went out, right?
Yes.
So that's pretty good. I mean, getting eight people to agree on anything, it's...
But in this...
It's not so easy.
In this case, the jury shouldn't have determined reasonableness of this search. One of the defense lawyers even submitted a jury instruction like mine, whereas you just determine how long was the wait, or if there's an exigent circumstance...
But the district judge wisely turned it down and said this is a jury issue. And I can't conceive of a better way of determining these things. I mean, you've got the question, you've got the screen door, you've got the fact that it was at night, you've got the fact that it's a small house. There's also the fact that there was a large pane window from which one could look from inside the house and see what's going on outside. There is the not trivial fact that your client has weapons, and people, I gather, in Arizona don't infrequently have weapons in their houses, which is something that police have to take into account. And thank God, armed citizenry is our best defense against tyranny, so this is a good thing. But nevertheless, it's a dangerous thing if you are a policeman to be and something you have to take into account when you execute a warrant. And all of that gets presented to a jury, and they come up with an answer. The nature of our system is that usually people say, okay, well, if I couldn't persuade eight of my peers, I'm going to walk away and accept the verdict.
All I will say in response is a jury shouldn't be deciding that. That's a judge decision. It's a policy decision. They should just decide facts. I will say, though, I'm going to use what you said for the other claims, which we didn't get to go to the jury. That's the false arrest and the excessive force and arrest. And those reasonableness decisions have been made by juries. And it's because they're not doing a policy decision about the Fourth Amendment is what the officers know and their intent, which has always been jury decisions. We didn't get that. And we did have facts of provocation of the shooting, which was the only reason for it, based on the excessive noise and all the other stuff. I've got about 25 seconds I'd like to reserve if I could.
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
Good Good morning. May it please the Court. My name is Jim Jellison. I represent the defendants who are employed by Yavapai County, and I'd like to focus my presentation on the...
Is there anything you heard today that wasn't adequately addressed in your brief?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Anything you heard today that wasn't adequately addressed in your brief?
No, Your Honor.
Well, thank you.
Is that all you want to hear from me?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other counsel feel differently on that?
Yes, Your Honor. My name is Tom Lloyd. I represent the Prescott, City of Prescott defendants.
And you believe that there are things said today that were not adequately presented in your brief?
There is one thing I would like to say, Your Honor.
Okay.
I would like to draw the analogy, if I may. I would like to draw the analogy about the focus on Pete Hodapp's training, because that's the issue I was asked to address among the three counsel here.
Was this something addressed today that wasn't adequately dealt with in your brief?
I'm sorry?
Was this something that was discussed today and was not adequately addressed in your brief?
I think it was adequately addressed.
Well, thank you, then.
Thank you.
Counsel, do you feel differently?
Your Honor, we submit the case.
Thank you. Case just argued will stand submitted. We are adjourned.